Ready to hear the word of the Lord? Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Cornejo.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a big round of applause, everybody. Can you worship God just for a moment longer? I thought for a moment I wasn't going to get to preach, which would have been perfectly fine with me. Because I love when Jesus just shows up. And I mean, that's what we're here for, right? So Jesus can show up. And I've had the Lord tell me a couple of times. And, you know, when I've preached, I think I do better preaching shorter. And then every once in a while, I end up preaching a little bit longer than I normally do. And as I do, I'll drive away, and the Lord will say, "Hey, why don't you just get out of the way? And the sooner you do, then the sooner I can show up." So I'm reminded quickly again and again to preach short. So I'm going to do the same thing again tonight. Amen. We're going to let Jesus show up. And when we do, we're going to rejoice for what Jesus is going to do and what he's already done in our lives. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1, if you can open your Bibles with me, and I am glad to be here in Sterling and in Alaska. I'm so excited and just so glad to get to be here. I really am. There's no place like Alaska. When we were at the camp 2 summers ago, we had such a great time, and it was amazing. How many of the young people that were there had a great time at camp? Amen. Even this summer, I heard it was awesome. Amen. God's just always doing it. And the thing that I really appreciate is the hunger. You know, I feel like you don't have to be that great of a preacher, you know, to go and preach Alaska camp and it to be amazing, because the young people's hunger out here is insane. Amen. And I believe it's a great reflection of the parents here as well. And so tonight I'm expecting no difference, amen, but that hunger to be in this building for what God desires to do. Amen? All right. I also want to honor, you know, Pastor Glover and the churches that are here, Homer and Soldotna, amen. I got that right, right? And Kenai, amen, all right. Everybody that's here, I want to honor you all and the pastors. I don't think I've met you, but God bless you, amen. I know there's several pastors in this building and their families, but if you love your pastor and his family, would you give them a big round of applause, whoever they are, amen. Amen. I am grateful for all of these people that are here and for all the great men and women of God in this place. I also, last but definitely not least, want to honor my wife and my son. Amen. We've been married 2 years and a couple of months now, and we're still honeymooning. Amen. We're just having a great time traveling all over the country, loving Jesus and one another. And I'm so blessed to have my wife with me, especially just to be here with me, and my son, who has made it all different. Can I get all the parents to say hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. Yeah, all the above, stomach pains and all of that good stuff. Anyway, 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." In other words, Jezebel threatened to kill Elijah. In verse 3, "And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." In verse 4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And let's go to 2 Kings quickly. 2 Kings, we're going to go to chapter 9. If you have it, you can say amen. 2 Kings chapter 9. We've got some Bible scholars that are already there, praise God, before I ever even mentioned it. And but for the rest of us, 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 31. And the Bible says, "And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, 'Had Zimri peace, who slew his master?' And he lifted up his face to the window and said, 'Who is on my side? Who?' And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs, and he said, 'Throw her down.'" And he's talking about Jezebel, the same one that a few chapters before went ahead and threatened the man of God, Elijah. He said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. Amen. And we'll just stop right there because it gets a whole lot more graphic. All right. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to be in this house right now. I pray in unity, God, that we would bind together in the name of Jesus. That your will be done. I take authority and dominion over every spirit, God, that would try to come against your will in this service, that would try to come against what you are doing here in each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that liberty and peace would go forth. The Spirit of God would go forth right now and bring peace and liberty into every heart of every believer here today. We thank you and we love you, Lord Jesus, for what you're about to do in this place. In the name of Jesus, would you give the Lord a big round of applause one more time? One more time. Come on. You can do a little bit better than that. Let's do it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes. Amen. I feel Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you love Jesus. Tell them you like what they're wearing. You're glad to see them here today. Shake their hand. There you go. Shake somebody's hand. That's it. About three people around you. After that, you may be seated. Amen. I'm not going to be long, but I will finish when you respond. I'll say it again so you can get it. I won't be long, but I will finish when you respond. So we could be here all night. It's up to you, all right? But I do want to say, just a quick disclaimer before we go on, that if you feel, I'm the kind of preacher that it's all right. If you feel like running, jumping, you feel, and I know this is a shouting church, amen. You've already felt the spirit of that for those of you that are visiting. And but if you feel like running, shouting, jumping the pews, whatever you feel like doing, we had a brother in my father's church in Los Angeles where he pastors that he used to be a gymnast, and he does cartwheels for Jesus. That's a real deal. No joke. In the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you feel to do it in the Holy Ghost, don't come up and get all crazy, but if you feel to do it in the Holy Ghost, then I want you to do that. Is that all right? Amen. I believe the day that we're living in, and for years, you know, the enemy has constantly tried to destroy, to bring down the people of God, to destroy what God is purpose, what God has spoken into their lives. And what he does, just like in the garden, is he speaks the exact opposite. When God says life, the enemy speaks death. When God speaks peace, the enemy speaks chaos. And it goes on, so on and so forth. And the enemy will constantly try to discourage the people of God. You notice, before they ever get to the destiny or the final destination of what God has purposed in their lives. And it's a constant battle throughout their life. Anyone ever met somebody in church that got the Holy Ghost, got baptized, they're living for the Lord, but you know them as the person that, oh, well, they're going through it right now. And then after that, they're doing good for about a month later. In my father's church back home where I'm originally from, we have people like that. They're, oh, how's so-and-so doing? Well, they're doing good this time. Oh, good, good. Next time, how's so-and-so? Well, you know, they're kind of down in the dumps, you know. And then next time you come and it's kind of one of these deals. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can you say amen? All right. So I know I'm preaching in the right church. And so the enemy has his weapon, and his number one weapon is his voice. what he can speak to you, what he can tell you to get you to believe a lie. And it all depends what you're listening to, obviously, and what you're going to eventually believe and what you're going to eventually give in to. And so I believe that the enemy is constantly trying to destroy us or bring us down and stop us from what God is doing, and would discourage in any which way he possibly can. And if you look at 1 Kings chapter 19, as we read, you get the story of Jezebel and how she threatens the prophet Elijah. And the prophet Elijah has come from this place to this mountaintop experience, if you will, and fire is called down from heaven. And all, I mean, this is a miracle. This is a miraculous thing that happens, and the prophet sees all these great miracles happening and destroys the prophets of Baal and chops their heads off, and just has a great victorious time for the kingdom of God and for the purpose and the glory of God. And then all of a sudden, in the next moment, next chapter, next story, all of a sudden the enemy comes and just whispers one word or one sentence and begins to speak death into what he just proclaimed as life. Where he was at, he was talking about, let's see whose God is really God. And then all of a sudden, God received the glory. And in the next moment, the enemy comes and speaks death into his life. And now before you know it, the Bible says that he's run off and he's going under a juniper tree. And basically, in the terms that we would use as me, between my brother and I as men, you know, growing up, we'd say, hey, don't be acting like a little girl. You know, that's what we'd say. Is that bad? Did I just cross line here or something? You know what I'm talking about, right? And so all of a sudden, Elijah goes under the juniper tree and he just starts crying like a little girl. He's had this victorious moment with God and fire's coming down from heaven. And all of a sudden, the enemy whispers one thing. And before you know it, on this mountaintop experience, he's all the way down in the dumps. And not only is he just having a down in the dumps moment where he's woe is me and sorrowful and so on, but he goes all the way into the point of, God, would you just destroy and kill my life? Take my life now, because I'm not okay with this. I'm not good with this. And the lies of the enemy is the thing that is in his mind, is the thing that he's constantly pondering over, and the enemy has triumphed in that particular moment and has brought intimidation into his life. Anyone ever been there before? You had a great moment with God. You remember that Holy Ghost experience with God. And, man, from the moment I've been called to preach and to do the things of God, there have been plenty of times where I've sat there and said, well, am I really supposed to preach? I got behind from after the pulpit or after the church and, you know, went back to wherever it was I was staying and was thinking, man, you know, was I really called to preach? I'm sure we've all faced that, amen? And we've come through these different things where the enemy has come to intimidate and lie to our lives and get us to think that what God has promised is so far-fetched. It's too far for us to reach. And as a matter of fact, sometimes we look at the impossibility of God's promise in our lives. Anyone ever thought that before? God, how in the world could this be accomplished? It seems too impossible. I want you to know something. If the promise that God gave to you is possible, then it's not a promise from God. I said, if the promise that God spoke into your life is possible for you to do on your own, then it's not from God. But if what God spoke to you one day in a prayer meeting is too impossible for your life to do all on your own, that you can't bake enough goods to make that amount of money, or you can't preach good enough to get there and to do that, then guess what? It's a dream and a vision from God. And that means if it's God's word, then he's got to fulfill it. You see, it's not up to me to get it done. No. It's up to God to fulfill the promise. So when hell comes my way, it's not my battle, the Bible says, but it's the Lord's. And I'm not going to worry about fighting it. I don't need to worry about getting the victory. Why? Because God has already won. Because he's already promised in my life that I'm going to experience great things. He's already promised in my life that I'm not going to be here today, and in a few years from now I'm going to triumph over that thing. Would you clap your hands into the Lord for a moment? We look at spirits and things in the world that the enemy begins to speak into our lives and begins to even allow, or sometimes we allow those spirits around us. And before we know it, you realize, you know, the deception of the enemy is his strongest, you know, along with his voice, and he uses his voice to deceive you. But deception is powerful, and that's what the enemy uses. And before you know it, some people are dealing with fear. And I've heard this for some reason, and I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again. For some reason, I don't know why or what's going on in the world today, but fear seems to be running rampant all over the country. I'm serious. And even other parts of the world, fear is something that people are dealing with. And I'm talking about believers. And you know, they got this new fancy word for it. It's called anxiety. Oh, yeah, I've been having anxiety attacks, brother. It's called fear. Same spirit, same thing. But I want you to realize something. That spirit has been around for thousands of years. So it's nothing new that you're dealing with. It's nothing new that you're going through. As a matter of fact, if you look at this story, you realize that when Jezebel began to speak to that messenger to go ahead and intimidate Elijah, it was a spirit of fear that was being transferred. Jezebel was fearful that Elijah was going to then go and fulfill the promise of God. If you read these scriptures, you'll realize quickly after 1 Kings chapter 19, the Lord tells Elijah, go, get up and anoint the prophet Jehu. And when you anoint Jehu, Jehu's vision or Jehu's plan, what's going to happen with Jehu is he's later on going to tell those eunuchs to throw Jezebel down, and then Jehu is going to be instrumental in the death of Jezebel. So Jezebel was in fear and thought, well, I'm going to try and inflict this same fear to Elijah. And she went and spoke to the messenger, and the messenger spoke to Elijah, and Elijah went ahead under the spirit of fear and walked over to that juniper tree and began to talk suicidal thoughts and entertain that spirit of fear. But it wasn't because he was actually going to die, or because Jezebel was actually going to have her way. Why? Because Elijah was a man of God. There's no way that God is going to allow that in his life. There's no way that hell is going to have that type of victory. And so all Elijah had to realize is, look, Jezebel is scared of what I'm about to step into. In other words, today some of you have been walking and entertaining that spirit of fear, and anxiety attacks have crept into your car when nobody's around, and you're on your way to work, and you don't know what to do, and you don't know how much money you're going to make to get through this and get through that, and fear has crept into your life when people come around you, and your family leaves church, and your family walks out of your house, and your teenagers are coming to an age of college, and they're getting ready to walk out on God, and all of a sudden fear has crept in. But all you've got to remember is that God has already ordained a promise for your life and for their life, and hell cannot have the final say. He can talk all he wants, and he can intimidate all he wants, but when God sent the man of God here to Sterling, and down to Homer, and down to Soldotna, guess what? He had already envisioned people receiving the Holy Ghost. He had already envisioned people being baptized in the name of Jesus. He had already spoken life into Alaska. He had already spoken life into this world. I'm telling you, we've got the victory today, and we don't have any reason to be down in the dumps about it. I've got the victory because God said I'm going to have the victory, because God said we win in the end. Would you clap your hands unto Jesus one more time? Fear was destroyed back then, and Elijah later on in that story got up and anointed Jehu, and Jehu, as I read to you, went ahead and said, who is on my side? And Jezebel's body was thrown down from the top of that tower, and she was killed. She was destroyed. Jezebel represented somebody that was not of God. As a matter of fact, was against the things of God. Anyone ever met somebody like that in your life? Met some situation like that in your life? Heard plenty of stories. My dad, being a pastor in Southern California, trying to get different properties in different places, and people not giving him what he's asking for, not just because he's a church. Oh, no, we don't want a church in that place. Can I get an amen? They say that, believe it or not, in cities all over the country. Oh, no, no, no. We don't want a church in that place. Spirit of Jezebel against the things of God, against what God is wanting to do. And that fear would have tried to creep into Elijah. But I'm telling you that that fear was overcome and was eventually destroyed there as Jezebel was killed. Amen. I'm telling you today that God has a promise for your life. And as God's promise is on your life, God's the only one that can stop it. Either God or you, that's the only one. Amen? Only God or you can stop what God has spoken into existence, what God is wanting to do. I'm telling you here today that people get so caught up and, well, you know, I heard this and I heard that and I really don't realize, you know, I don't know how it's going to happen. You think about confusion and you think about anxiety, you think about those types of things and those types of spirits. And to my mind comes Joseph, where Joseph all of a sudden receives this vision from God and this dream and is promised to be in this place of honor and of royalty and so on. And he's promised there in the palace that he's going to go to the palace, and all of a sudden the Bible says in the next moment that he's in a pit, and after the pit, as some of you may know the story, that he's there in slavery, and after slavery he's locked up in prison, and it doesn't look like the promise of God is going to happen. It doesn't look like what God has said is going to take place. It doesn't look like maybe in your life what God has promised is all working out. Maybe some of you God prophesied through somebody that your son or your daughter would come to the house of the Lord or would be this or be that in the kingdom of God. And instead of them progressing in the things of God, they've walked out on God. It doesn't look like what God has promised, but that doesn't mean that we give up. That doesn't mean that our time is over. I feel like preaching to somebody. That doesn't mean that our time is done. That doesn't mean I was 14 years old and turned my back on God. I'm not supposed to be here today, but I had a praying mama that did not give up on the promises of God in my life. I shouldn't be preaching here behind this pulpit. I've got cousins that have been locked up in jail. That's my destiny. That, according to the world, that's my destiny. But I'm telling you today that God had a different plan for my life. And if somebody believes that today, somebody realizes there's a different plan than what hell has spoken into your life. God's desire, God's dream will happen. Because if God is for us, then who can stand against us? If God died for me, then nobody can condemn me but him. God is in control. Would you clap your hands to Jesus one more time? There is life coming into this church right now. There is life coming into this city right now. There is hope coming into your city right now. There is faith coming into your city right now. There is faith coming into your home right now. There is faith coming into that hospital room right now, that they will live and not die. That they will live and not die. Clap your hands one more time unto Jesus. Would you shout with the voice of triumph unto the Lord? God's way is the greatest way. There's no doubt about it. God's plan is the greatest plan. There's no doubt about it. It might not look victorious. It might not look all great and glitz and glamour and so on. But I'm telling you, if God said it, it will come to pass. And if it comes to pass, when it comes to pass, there will be joy in your life. Somebody here today, it might be like Jonah, where God has spoken to you. I don't know why I keep hearing this about Jonah, where God has spoken into your life, and you've allowed the way that the world looks, and you've allowed the way that other things look, and you've allowed the way that other things around you in this world look, to get you away from the things and the plan of God. I'm telling you here today that the devil is still a liar and God is still in control. When you begin to do it, God will give you peace in your life. When you begin to obey, God will give you joy in your life. When you begin to obey the plan of God, it will happen. God will give you the victory that you feel around you. God will give you the fulfillment of other people's joy here around you that you feel around. You'll begin to feel that same thing. And I'm telling you today that we've got a plan of God for our lives. Amen. God's got something for me. You know, one of the most amazing things, forget exactly where I was, but I was somewhere preaching, and I remember it wasn't too long ago, there was a man, as I like to say now, I've learned that when you're a little bit, you've got more experience and more years on your side, you're a little bit older than I am, then you're wiser. So you're a lot wiser, amen? So this man was about 80 years wise. Everybody know where I'm going now, all right? Amen. See, now I've learned, quick commercial, I've learned to not say it the wrong way. Amen. And so I'm telling you, this man was about 80 years wise. And I remember after preaching, the power of God was moving. He came up to me and he said, you know, God's still got a plan for my life. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. Most people are looking to the end of life. Now, I'm not saying this to scare you, to sound gruesome or anything. Most people at that age or that wise age in life are looking at the end of their life. But he said, wait, I'm still breathing. God's still got a plan in my life. I pray with the help of the Lord, if I ever make it to be this wise. My great-grandmother was 103 years old when she passed away this year. And my great-grandmother walked with the Lord like nobody I really know, like nobody else I've ever encountered. She would pray three times a day at 103 years old. Diabetes in her body, and she would fast once a week at 103 years old. Up until the last month of her life, she was still giving Bible studies. You know how she did it? She never learned to drive. So I knew her at 80-something years old and when I was born. And she was 80 years something wise. And I remember all of a sudden she would tell people, hey, why don't you take me on down to the church? I don't know how to drive. Now, you don't tell an 80-year wise woman that's got no husband no, right? No matter who you are, that's just disrespectful and wrong. Do I need to change my message here? Talk about honor and respect? No. Okay. All right. Here we go. And so my grandma would tell him, hey, would you take me down to the church? And after that, I'll make you a nice meal. And she knew how to cook some of the most amazing Mexican food ever, period. Amen. I will take that to the grave and debate any of you on that. All right. And I remember she would tell people that, well, before long, she would get them to sit in the service. And before you knew it, they were up at the altar. People were helping pray them through, and they were receiving the Holy Ghost. I wish I could count the amount of people. I want to. One day, with the help of the Lord, I will. But I want to count the amount of people that she spoke to and people that were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and were baptized in the name of Jesus at 103 years old, still giving a Bible study. I've got no excuses. I still got a breath in my life. I've got no excuses. I remember about my great-grandmother. I remember I was 17 years old, and I was not preaching. I was, you know, here and there at my dad's church, but I was not going here and there preaching. And my grandma would say, hey, you know, he's an evangelist. She would say in Spanish to the people in her complex, you know, es un evangelista. He's an evangelist. I'm looking at my grandma like, yeah, for real? Well, I don't know about that, grandma, but all right. You know, I was a senior in high school. You know, I was not an evangelist, you know, whatever you want, however you want to label it. And I remember she would get her cane and she would knock on the door just like that because she didn't have the strength to do that. So she would just knock on the door. They'd open the door and, oh, come on in. And before long, there we were witnessing to them. She'd say, hey, come pray. And I was laying my hands on them. We're both speaking in tongues and the power of God's moving. I mean, that's just kind of how she worked. She just loved the Lord that way. At 100 and something years old, I mean, still serving God with an intensity. Amen. And I remember one time she told my mom, she said, you know, I want Jesse to come with me to the hospital. It was the first miracle I had ever seen. I remember she said, I want Jesse to come with me to the hospital. And I looked at my mom and I said, Mom, you know, my grandma spoke Spanish, so it was difficult. I've learned a lot more since then, and it was difficult to communicate with her. And I said, Mom, are you sure she doesn't want me, my dad, to go? My dad's name is also Jesse. And I thought, well, he's the preacher. He's the pastor. You know, he's got a whole lot of faith. You know, he's seen miracles and demons cast out and all that good stuff. I'm just a senior in high school, you know. And so then she said, no, your grandma wants you to go. And so we walked up to the hospital. I remember as I drove my grandma over there, and And we walked in and we buzzed ourselves in. And I didn't realize what this part of the hospital was purposed for, but it was called the ICU. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe I'm praying for a leg pain or something like that. Well, it was one of her neighbors that was sick. And we went in, and when I realized that ICU meant intensive care unit, I wasn't sure that I brought that amount of faith. You know what I mean? Can I get an amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You pray for a headache, you're like, oh, in Jesus' name. You pray for someone with cancer, you're like, Lord, please touch them. All right, everyone in here has got a whole lot of faith, I guess. I'm the only one. And so there I was, and I'm thinking, Lord, help me. All right, Jesus' name, I got to get some more faith. You're quoting the scriptures. I mean, you're praying, whatever, all that stuff. And 17 years old, I'm walking in, and I remember the lady, looking at the lady, and she literally had a tube connected to her mouth, and she was on the respiratory system. And as she was laying there, I remember her just like that, just laying there, and she was in a coma, completely out, was not able to speak to us. We were not able to speak to her. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I surely didn't come to pray for leg pain. I mean, this is serious stuff here. And so I thought, well, all right, Grandma, let's do this. And, you know, my grandma, she didn't have a whole lot of energy, you know, to pray and so on. And she just went over and, come on, let's pray, let's pray. And I laid my hand on the lady like I'd watched my dad do before, you know. I mean, I really had not prayed for too many people before that. And I had not seen any miracles before that either. And I remember all of a sudden I laid my hands in the name of Jesus. And I went from about 0 to 100 in like 0.1 seconds. Praying that this lady would just pop out of the coma and just come back, you know, to life, basically. And nothing happened. And I walked out a little discouraged and thinking, man, what's going on? And, you know, why, I don't understand, you know. And all right, well, whatever, you know. We kind of just brush it off, you know. It's okay. I went back to school, and about 2 days later, I got a text from my mom. Now, I was in my fifth period. I remember this very, very clearly, like it was yesterday, because I was in my fifth period, and I was texting. And everyone that goes to a public school knows that you are not supposed to be texting while you're in class. Can I get an amen? What school am I talking about? What school you guys go to? All right. Anyway, okay. Everybody's homeschooled in here. Well, your mom shouldn't be letting you text anyway. You got to understand, I was texting, though, because I was doing the work of the kingdom. You know what I mean? So my mom texted me and said, hey, your grandma wants you to go back to the hospital and talk to that lady, give her a Bible study. And I thought to myself, well, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I text my mom back. I said, you know, I don't really understand because that lady can't speak to me and neither can I, you know, speak to her and her actually hear and comprehend what I'm saying. She's in a coma, Mom. It doesn't make any sense. And so my mom texted me back quickly and said, well, actually, your grandma just called, and that lady, her neighbor that you guys prayed for, no longer is she not in the coma, but she don't have the respiratory system hooked up to her anymore. She's out of the ICU. She's been healed. They want you to go back and preach in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, when God places a destiny, sometimes you won't even realize what God's already doing in your life before you ever get there. All you got to do is walk in the Holy Ghost and tell the enemy, hey, you got to take a back seat to what God has promised in my life. Maybe my mom knew. Maybe my dad knew something that God would do in my life. I didn't know it then, but God understood. This is where I'm taking you. This is where I'm taking you one day. And since that moment, God has opened up blind eyes and unstopped deaf ears. I'm telling you today that God has got a plan for your life. If you believe that, would you clap your hands to Jesus? Yeah. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. And here's the deal. It doesn't matter how many people have told you no in your city when you've talked to them about church or when you've talked to them about Jesus. It doesn't matter how many people have told you no, how many people have turned their back on you or shut their door or stuffed your card on the floor or threw it in the trash. It doesn't matter how many people. Why? Because God has already promised that these people are going to come. That's why he sent you, Pastor. That's why he sent you, Pastor. God is, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I'm not just saying this, I didn't plan this, but that's why he sent
represent you, sir. That's even in this city, in this state, on this peninsula that needs the Holy Ghost. They might not know it yet, but I'm telling you, God's going to get the victory. God's going to get the final say. God's going to have the final say. Why? Because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. God is on my side, and therefore nobody can be against me. Nobody can stand against me. I'm telling you, it's here. It's here right now. Jesus is going to give us the victory. You keep praying it. You keep believing it. You keep speaking it in faith. I dare somebody to walk in to your son's room that has left God. I dare somebody to walk into your daughter's room that has turned their back on God, that's struggling, that's on the fence, and say, in the name of Jesus, I command every spirit to leave this room. This child has been dedicated to Jesus. This child has been dedicated to the Almighty. I'm telling you, grab a shirt, grab a picture, lay your hand on that picture and pray and know that Jesus Christ is Lord. God can do absolutely anything. I don't know that I have much more else to tell you. Let's all stand here. I'm telling you here today that God is on our side. I'm telling you here today, listen, that God is working still, even when you don't feel it. God is working around you. God is working over you. God is working when you can't see it. The Lord is moving, but you've got to hold on to the promises of God. That's what Abraham did well before he ever even saw the promise come to pass. We've got to hold on to what God has said. It doesn't matter if fear tries to creep in. Guess what? He's got to go out through the back door. It's got to go. Fear cannot stay. It doesn't matter if anxiety or confusion tries to creep in. Joseph had a promise, and God did it. I'm telling you that God is still working here in your life today. You think about condemnation. People deal with this all the time. Well, let's look at Peter for a moment. Jesus said, you're going to deny me. And Peter denied Jesus three times. But guess what? Right after that, Peter had the decision to stay in that same vein of feeling condemned and allowing the enemy to win. Or he had the decision to say, you know what? The devil is a liar. The grace of God is sufficient for me. And on that day of Pentecost, he preached, and those people were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you today, I don't know who you're going to preach to, but there is somebody in this city that's going to hear the message tomorrow. There's somebody in your city that's going to hear the message the next day. There's somebody in your school. There's somebody at your job. There's somebody here in this world that's going to receive the message. All you've got to do is not give up. Is not give in. God has got a plan for your life. God has got a plan for your life. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies, for when I fall, I shall arise. I don't care what's been going on. God is still here, and he's still on the throne. And if you've got a breath in your body, then God's still got a plan for you. And God still got a destiny for you. And God still got a purpose for you today. If the Lord's speaking to somebody right now, I want you to come down to this altar. We're going to do something. We're going to pray here in a moment, but also we're going to rejoice. I want you to come. The Lord's speaking to somebody. I don't know who it is. But there's a hunger God's rekindling in somebody. There's a love God's rekindling in somebody for souls. There's a love. There's a hunger God's rekindling in somebody. There's a promise God's reminding you of. There's a promise, a destiny God is reminding you of here. Young person, wiser person, it doesn't matter. God is speaking to your life right now. As you're there praying, speaking in tongues, we're going to rejoice in a moment. You can keep that same tune, and we're going to rejoice here in a moment. But I want you to know something. As you're still in the Holy Ghost, that's all right. That Pharaoh decided to destroy the babies, to kill all the babies. But this puzzles my mind because Pharaoh, and I know I said this the other day to those of you that were here in Sterling in the service, but listen, it blows my mind because why in the world would you kill a baby? A baby is helpless. Think about it. Baby can do nothing. at that moment in life, in that stage in life, can do absolutely nothing to bring a threat to a grown man or a grown woman or to a kingdom. But Pharaoh decided to destroy and kill the babies, not because of what they were at that moment, but because of what they were about to step into. If one of them got just a little bit too wise, if one of them just got a little bit too hungry for Jesus, if one of them just got a little bit too hungry and said, you know what, wait, hold on, I know there's been a promise given. I know there's something going on. There's a God that's greater. And guess what? That whole kingdom could have toppled over. I'm telling you today that hell is worried about one that would say, wait, hold on, there's a Jesus that's more real. Wait, hold on, there's a destiny that's still real. Wait, hold on, there is a power of God that is more real than any plan of hell in my life. Right now, with a shout as loud as you can, let's shout hallelujah unto the Lord on the count of three. Everybody, I'm telling you, strongholds are going to begin to fall. Things are going to begin to go away. Doubt is going to walk out the door. Fear is going to go. Condemnation is going to walk out. Everybody, right now, one, two, three. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's it. Come on, would somebody pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment? Would somebody worship in the Holy Ghost for a moment? Would somebody worship in the Holy Ghost for a moment? Yeah. He's got a plan on my life. He's got a plan on my life. Yeah. It's still there. Yeah. The purpose of God is still there. The anointing, the calling, it's still there. Right now. Yeah. It's all over you. Hallelujah.